Shall we say amen? Amen. 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 I can't think of a better question to ask than the question, is thy heart right with God? And even Christians must constantly ask themselves that question. Because the Bible says, wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And therefore it is critical that we continuously do an introspection of our lives to make sure that our hearts are right with God. A pleasant evening to everybody. Thank you so much for coming back out and allowing me to stand before you and to share with you God's word. I always consider it an honor and a privilege just to be able to break the word of God to anybody who's willing to sit and listen. And I want you to let you know that, you know, I am deeply grateful to the leaders here for allowing me to be here again and to be a part of this gospel meeting. This evening I want to share with you some issues regarding the purpose of the church. One might ask the question, what really is there to be said regarding the purpose of the church? But I believe that with all the misconceptions out there, it becomes important that we spend time and fully understand what the purpose of the church is. The misconceptions are in abundance out there in the public as to what is the purpose of the church. And I want you to know this evening, brethren, that there is a purpose for the church. And regarding that purpose, this purpose cannot be carried out by any business place. It cannot be carried out by government. It cannot be carried out by any charitable organization. It can only be carried out by the church and the church only. And that is God's saving plan of salvation for man. And therefore, it is necessary that every single member fully understands what the purpose of the church is. You know, one man says, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. And that's a fact. If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. The fact of the matter is that every congregation must understand what is its purpose. Or else, if you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. We must understand what our purpose is, or else we will do things by accident and not by goals and aims. And there are many churches today that are operating by accident. Whatever happens, just happen. The Church of Jesus Christ must understand that it can only operate based on the purpose that God has given His church. And therefore, every member must understand what that purpose is. It therefore means also that regarding the purpose, this purpose must be clearly taught to every member. That no member must have a misunderstanding as to what the purpose of the church is. You know, when you walk into a business place today, you don't have to think too hard as to what their purpose is. Say, walk into Walmart, and you know for sure that with all the wonderful customer service that they will give you, the bottom line is that they want your money. That's the bottom line. It's all about profit. Oh, they will be good corporate citizens, yes. But the end game is to make a profit. When people walk into the church, they must know what the purpose of the church is. We make no qualms about making sure that people understand that we are interested in their souls. We don't hide it. That is one of the major purposes of the church. The dictionary defines purpose. It defines purpose as the reason for which something is done or the reason for which something exists. Simply put, the reason for which something is done or the reason for which something exists. And so the question we want to ask is, for what reason or reasons does the church exist? And there are many churches today that have gotten confused as to what their purpose is. So much so that some churches have become a social gathering place, so that those who are bored and love to socialize can go to these churches so that they can socialize. The church is not merely a social gathering place. I want us to understand that there are some folks who are bored, and so they want to find a place of entertainment. And so there are churches today that will provide them this entertainment. So if you are bored and you want a nice place to be entertained, there are churches out there that will provide you of that. But the purpose of the church is not to entertain its audience or the members. The purpose of the church is not to entertain or even to be a social gathering place for those who are bored and like to socialize. Jesus Christ tells us in John 20 and verse 21, he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you as the church." He's sending us. And the mere fact that he's sending us means that there is a purpose to be fulfilled. So he says, "I am sending you." And therefore, as I said before, it's important then that we understand what that purpose is. And so this evening, I want to look at three major things in terms of the purpose of the church. And I want to also make it plain, brothers and sisters and friends, that every single congregation, wherever that congregation meets, must make it its duty to ensure that its members, those who are already members, be constantly be reminded of the purpose of the church. And those who are being baptized into the church, as soon as they are baptized, they are taught as to what the purpose of the church is, so that they can be on board as to what the programs are all about. It is important. And I noticed that if you were to join any organization today, it doesn't matter which organization, you join an organization and they will make it plain to you what your purpose is. The church must be in the business of informing its members, and especially new members, as to what its purpose is about. So firstly, when we talk about the purpose, this is not something that church leaders will sit down and concoct. Church leaders don't come up with a purpose. The purpose is already laid down in the scriptures by God. So we are not putting together a purpose. We're not concocting a purpose. God has already given us the purpose for the church of Jesus Christ. And therefore, let us now examine the scriptures regarding this. One of the purposes of the church is to be evangelistic. Now, we know for sure that when we talk about evangelistic or evangelism is fast becoming extinct nowadays. That it seems as if this idea of evangelism was merely a first century thing. And not many churches are engaged in the whole idea of evangelism. As a matter of fact, if you want to get some people uncomfortable, you talk about evangelism. But here, evangelism and other forms of the word appears 55 times in the New Testament. 55 times. Evangelism and other forms of the word. And it merely means to preach or teach the good news. To preach or teach the good news. And this includes, in other words, the preaching and teaching of the good news includes, one, where we warn people about sin. Two, it means where we explain to them about the consequences and the remedies for sin. And thirdly, in which we call people to repent from their sinful ways. So when we talk about the good news or preaching and teaching, it means that we are warning people about sin. It means that we are explaining to them about the remedies of sin. And thirdly, it means that we are calling people to repentance. The good news involves all these three things. Now then, when we talk about the mission, Jesus Christ tells us in Luke 19 verse 10, he says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The mission of Jesus Christ is also the mission of the church. The church's mission is to seek and to save those who are lost. And that is clearly taught in the scriptures. The church's mission is Christ's mission. The Bible says that Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 1 and verse 16, that he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and his brother Andrew, who were casting a net into the sea. And he called out to them in verse 17, and he said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." We cannot misunderstand what Christ was all about. Everybody knows that what Christ was all about was to save the souls of men. And I'm saying that the church's mission is about saving people's souls. At the end of his ministry. So at the start of his ministry, he says, you know what, I want to make you fishers of men. At the end of his ministry, in Matthew 28 and verse 19 and 20, he told his disciples, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." In other words, at the end of his ministry, he was again reminding them as to what their purpose is all about. Their purpose is to seek and to save souls that are lost. So when someone comes into the church, when someone, a visitor comes and he visits a congregation, he must clearly see and understand that what we are about is not entertainment. It's not mere socialism. It is about saving souls. We can't change that. That is already established in the scriptures. The first century church was very serious about the Great Commission. Extremely serious. They were so serious that as a result of the persecution that was in Jerusalem, the Bible says that the disciples, as they went everywhere preaching the word. If you will quickly, to the book of Acts chapter 8, Acts the 8th chapter, and look at verses 3 and 4 of Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. And the Bible says here, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, and dragging men and women off, and committing them to prison. Therefore, as a result of this persecution, those who were scattered, they went everywhere preaching the word." Now, one would have thought that these people would have run away and hid themselves. But the Bible says that as they went, they continued preaching the gospel. In other words, that is commitment. And we must be committed to the whole idea of seeking and saving those who are lost. It was during this time that the man who was leading the persecution, Saul, it was during this whole persecution period that he himself ended up becoming a preacher of the gospel. It is amazing the power of the gospel, how it can change one from being a persecutor of the gospel to a preacher of the gospel. And here we find Paul, then Saul, but later on becoming Paul, who became one of the greatest missionaries the world has ever known. I am saying, brothers and sisters, when you understand the power of God's word, you will never hesitate to share that word with anyone whom you come in contact with. You'll never hesitate. Paul became a great preacher. But then the Bible tells us that Paul said to the Colossian Christians that they preached the gospel to every creature. Listen to this now. Colossians 1 verse 23, Brother Jackson read from that. Colossians 1:23, the Bible says that they preach the gospel to every creature under heaven. That is absolutely mind-boggling. Did they have cell phones? Did they have television? Did they have newspaper? Or they never had technology? But yet still the Bible says they preach the gospel to every creature under heaven. What we're talking about is commitment. When we're committed to the whole idea of winning souls, then God will do the rest. Our duty is to sow the seed. God will give the increase. Our duty is to inform. Let God do the transforming of the person. We are either impacting the world, or the world is impacting us. Are you with me? We are either influencing the world, or the world is influencing us. And it is for every one of us who has been born into the family of God to get on board where the Great Commission is concerned. Let me inform you, in case you did not know, the Great Commission is not the Great Suggestion. This is not a suggestion from God. It is not optional. It is mandatory that every one of us who has been born into the family of God become a soul winner for Jesus Christ. And therefore what this means is that we must begin to look for opportunities. When we have a friend visiting our house, we can't sit down and talk about the soap opera last night. We have to talk about also the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have got to use the little doors that are open so that we can reach those who are lost. Look for opportunities. Create opportunities to become evangelistic, because that is one of the fundamental purposes of the church. Winning souls. And all of us here are those who have benefited from someone who sought to win our souls to Jesus Christ. All of us here. But secondly, it is clearly taught in the scriptures that not only should the church be engaged in evangelism, but the church must be engaged in edification. Edification comes from the word edify. And edify means to build up or to construct. You know, this is an interesting example. I remember years ago listening to someone who was involved in training men and women to become Navy SEALs. You know, the Navy SEALs, the U.S. Navy SEALs, is what you call the ultimate. They are the ultimate warriors. It is said that 70% of those who tried to join the Navy SEALs dropped out because the training was too difficult for them. So not everybody who signed up is able to become a Navy SEAL, because it is really tough training. Now, this is interesting, because it is said that what they do with these trainees, the men and women that they are training, what they do is to break them down. They come in as civilians and they break them down mentally and physically and reconstruct them into ultimate warriors. So therefore, at the end of the day, you have men and women who are top class fighters. The same concept must be engaged by the church, because when a man becomes a Christian, he has been broken down spiritually. Therefore, the old way of life has been buried. The church's goal now, through God's word, is to reconstruct this person, teaching him new ways, new ideas, new thoughts, new deeds from God's word. We reconstruct each other through the word of God. That is why Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, the old Paul has died. I have been reconstructed. So he says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. Every child of God is a reconstructed person. And that means edification. We build each other up. Then again we find that Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is not an old person. He's not the same old, but he's a new creature. Because when you become a Christian, the old way of life has been broken down and we have been reconstructed by God. And in case you didn't know, I want to inform you. It doesn't matter how long you are a Christian, you're still being reconstructed. We haven't arrived there yet, my friend. We are still being reconstructed by Jesus Christ. Every day of our lives, we are being built up by the Word of God. That is edification. Where we build each other up. When I say that, I want us to understand something. It means that when we come to Bible class, Sunday morning, not just Sunday morning worship, because everybody seems to think that Sunday morning worship is the only thing that is necessary. Our Sunday morning Bible class is important. Our Sunday evening worship is important. Our midweek Bible class is important. Every opportunity we can get to build each other up, we must grab it with both hands. That is the reconstruction process. And the more you avail yourself But for God's word is the stronger you will become. The stronger. We need to edify each other. That is why Paul says in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If we are not edifying each other by coming together and studying God's word, then we will never be strong in facing the devil and the wiles and snares of the evil one. We'll never be strong. In 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13, Paul says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. That's what he says. And he is implying here that if you are not being edified, then you will not be strong. You will not be brave, he says. You will not have a strong faith. And that is why the statistics will show that many of those who fall away from the church are those who never avail themselves to the edification of the church. You know, when I walk inside the foyer, and this is one of the things I love coming to Stony Island, you have so many booklets there. In other words, if you have not read some of them, take one or two home and read them. Make sure you have the Bible with you. And as you read, you make sure that you can verify everything. But make sure that if there's a subject you don't understand fully, that you go back and you study it and you leave no stone unturned until you fully understand what it means to have faith in God, what it means to be baptized into Christ, what it means to be justified, what it means to be reconciled in Jesus Christ. Understand these things. That is how we become strong. Because if you don't use it, you will lose it. You will. Edification is important. It is important. It is also not enough that we study God's word. Hear me, please. Because I've always believed that members of the church tend to know more than many in the religious world. But it's one thing to know. It's a far different thing to put what you know into action. The knowledge we get was designed so that we can put these things into action. I want to direct your attention back to Colossians quickly. Colossians chapter 1, the same passage that Brother Jackson read from. Colossians chapter 1, and look with me at verse 23. Colossians 1 and verse 23. He says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, he says, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Notice he says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and he says, are not moved away. In other words, if you do not put what you have learned into action, then you are going to be moved away. You're going to be tossed to and fro. And let me tell you something, friends. Out there is enough false teachings to make anybody get dizzy. Members of the church must be careful. When you study God's word, then you don't say amen to everything a preacher says. You have to make sure that it is God's word first, before we say amen. You know, you have some folks out there, some preachers, they are so eloquent that they can tell you to go to hell in such a way that you look forward to the trip. You have got to be careful of the great oratorical skills of men out there. Be careful, because many of them are smooth talkers, and not many people are willing to look at what is being said before they agree to what is being said. Edify yourself. One of the purposes of the church is to edify its members, build the members up. And that is why members must come out. We must come out to midweek Bible class. We must come out to Sunday morning Bible class. We must look for opportunities, maybe to meet at the library or to meet somewhere else as a group, and always studying God's word. Because if you don't study, one of these days you will fall victim to false teachings. You will. James says in James 1 verse 22, don't just be hearers of God's word, but be doers of it. Don't just hear it. Our duty is not merely to hear God's word. Our duty is to do what it says. But then thirdly, this evening, the church must engage as one of its purposes to be benevolent. To be benevolent. Now this is sometimes a very emotional subject for many. And I'll explain to you later on what I mean by that. When we talk about benevolence, we're talking about going about doing good deeds. Simply put, doing good deeds. We are not just in the business of teaching people the gospel. The end game is that we want them to be saved. But sometimes to get through all the obstacles to their souls, you have got to assist people along the way. The Bible says in Acts 10 verse 38 that Jesus Christ went about doing good. It was a part of his mission. He went about doing good. He fed the 5,000, he fed the 500, and the list goes on and on. He was about saving souls, but a part of saving souls is to let people know that you care about them. As I've often heard, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ was about. The church has an obligation, not an option. The church has an obligation, my friend, to help those who are in need. And I'd like to rephrase that. The church has a privilege. When we can assist someone who is in need, it's a privilege for us. It is a privilege. The church in Galatia was told by Paul. The church was told by Paul in Galatians 6 and verse 10. He says, as you therefore have opportunity, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. So we are not restricted only to Christians. The church's duty is to assist all men, not just those of the household of faith. Now having said that, it doesn't mean that the church is going to become a place that just hands out things. That's not the purpose of the church. And you know that there are many out there who will take full advantage of any church that presents itself as just an organization that hands out things. That's not how the church ought to operate. That is not how. Because the Bible says, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, as you assist people, the church must use wisdom as much as is possible in assisting those. So a man walks in and he says, you know what? I'm 6 months in arrears where my rent is concerned. And I heard that you guys are in the business of helping people. You know, oftentimes when you ask him, you know what, let me pay that rent for you. He says, no, just give me the money. I'll pay it myself. Because oftentimes what they're saying that they need the funds for is not exactly what they need it for. The church must be wise. Not everybody who comes with one hand stretching out, we must quickly give them, because oftentimes many of them are drug addicts. Many of them are going back into a life of immorality with the very money you're giving them. You cannot be unwise where God's money is concerned. We must be good stewards of God's funds. So it is not out of the ordinary then. If the church were to seek verification from someone who needs help in something, it is not out of the ordinary. If someone says, you know what, I am sick and I need to go to the doctor, then the church must use wisdom and try to verify that. But once you start by giving out things, left, right, and center, then you're going to find that more people are coming to get what they can get. And as soon as they get what they can get, they will make their departure. That's not the business of the church. Nevertheless, the church must not be scared when it comes to being benevolent. It must not be. God gives physical blessings to the good, but hear this now, to the evil. There are men out there who are involved in evil acts, but are still recipients of God's blessings. Oh, the Bible says that God sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. You know that. In other words, everybody is a recipient of God's blessings. The very sun that rises, everybody benefits from that. Everybody who is alive benefits from God's air. Everybody benefits from that. We must understand that God blesses every single person, except though that spiritual blessings are found only in Christ Jesus. That much we know. That no one can have access to those spiritual blessings unless he is in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And therefore, the church must do likewise. The church must seek to assist its members and those who are not members for the end game of winning their souls. I want to remind you of that. The whole idea of having a benevolent program or a pantry, the end game must be about winning the person's soul to Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says in John 6 and verse 27, Jesus Christ says, labor not for the food that perishes, but for that which endures to everlasting life. In other words, whatever program you have in terms of helping people, at the end of the day, all these programs must come right back to winning that person's soul to Jesus Christ. So therefore, if you're helping someone who is in need, don't just help them. Find a way to invite them to church also. Find a way to also offer a Bible study. Because that is more important than merely giving them fish and bread. Far more important. And we are going to be doing injustice to people if all we do is to give them things and tell them goodbye. It's injustice to them. We give them things, yes, but the purpose is that they will sit and listen to us breaking God's word to them. I want to encourage us this evening that as members of the church, like any organization, and some of you work at different organizations, like any organization, you spend time and avail yourself as to the three fundamental purposes for which the Church of Jesus Christ functions in this world. One, it's about evangelism, looking for souls for Jesus Christ. That's our business, seeking those who are lost and winning them to Jesus Christ. It's about edifying its members. Therefore, every member must seek to become strong. Weak members make weak churches. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If there is a weak member, there's a weak link in the church. And therefore, every member must seek to become stronger and stronger so that the church of Jesus Christ can be strong. And then also, we must be in the business of benevolence. So you look at all the programs we have, all the programs that are found in a congregation, all of these programs, excluding none, must revolve around winning the person's souls. The person's souls, and also building them up. It doesn't matter what kind of program we have, whether it be Sunday school program or we're having some kind of outdoor fellowship, whatever it is, a member should be able to come and ask, well, what is the purpose of all of this? Well, the purpose of this fellowship is so that we can fellowship together and become stronger and be more edified. Every time we have even the eating there in the fellowship room, it's all about creating a bond with the congregation so that members can feel that they are being built up, not just physically, but more importantly, spiritually. If we don't have our programs revolving around these three fundamental purposes, then you're going to find that churches are operating by accident. Whatever happens, just happens. And that is not how God intends for His church to function. So what I want to do this evening is to impress upon you that as members of the body of Jesus Christ, understand that we are not operating without purposes. God has given us those purposes. You must find out where you are fitting in all these three purposes. Am I being evangelistic? Am I making myself available to the food that the church is providing to build me up as a member? Am I involved in being generous and kind to my brothers and sisters and to those who are outside there? If I am falling short in these areas, then I'm falling short in terms of the purposes of the Church of Jesus Christ. When we begin to do these things and focus on them with laser beam perfection, you'll be amazed to see how it can revolutionize the way how churches function in today's world. But with all the blurriness that exists, the Church of Jesus Christ must continually revisit the fundamental purposes for which God has given it. I want to let you know this evening, brethren, that if there is a member who sat there and realized that, you know what, I find myself not doing any one of these things. I just listened and I found out that I'm not being evangelistic as I need to be. I've lost the zest, perhaps never have the zest or the zeal to even win souls for Jesus Christ. I've never handed out a tract. I've never talked to somebody about Jesus Christ. Well, I believe that I need to begin to do that. But I need Jesus Christ to inspire me. I need the church to pray for me because I don't want to keep on doing the same old. You know, if you keep on doing what you're doing, you'll keep on getting what you're getting. So if you're not doing anything, you will reap nothing. And every Christian must be fruitful for Jesus Christ. But maybe there's a member who recognized that they have not been evangelistic, that they are not growing as they should, that when they check their lives, they realize that they are at the same place they were a year ago and 2 years ago, they are still at the same level. That suggests that growth isn't taking place. And when you're not growing, the church isn't growing as it should. And if there's a member who seeks prayer in this regard, who really wants to stop this thing and begin to become fruitful and continue to abound in the work of the Lord, then this invitation is for you. It is for you. Maybe where benevolence is concerned, you have only focused on those nearest to you. But you have never used benevolence as a tool of evangelism. I want to encourage you. Begin to use it as a tool to win souls for Jesus Christ. He did, and so we should. Maybe someone is sitting here who's not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. You're not a member, but happily you are here tonight. And I'm happy to tell you that you can become a part of the greatest institution that has ever existed in this world, and that is the church. The church is a called out body of people who have been called out of the world into a spiritual relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is what you are being called to become, a member of the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. If you're willing to believe this message and repent of your sins, because without repentance, we shall perish. Luke 13 and verse 3. If you don't confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, if you're not willing to say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then he says, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. If you're not a member, then the Bible says you must be baptized in water. How else will the old man be buried? How else will you be raised a new creature unless you are buried in water so that you can be raised a newly constructed person, now a member of the body of Jesus Christ? That means baptism is a necessity. And that is why the Bible says, he that believes and is baptized, not perhaps, but shall be saved. This is for you. We're going to stand and sing the song of encouragement. Don't just sing it. Do what it says as we stand and sing.
Number 255. 255.